Welcome back to Tome of Tales. Set in the Cantus Expanse, this episode is a session write-up. Run by Ian for the London RPG community. On August 6th, 2020, the session was called Home Sweet Home. Continuing after the events of Fell Shadows Beckoning. In it, I played Cheryl the Feytouched, a halfling bard from the Feywild. Waves crash 100 feet or so below the cliff's edge Cheryl finds herself standing on. The drop stretches to either side of her, with lush green grass underfoot. A softly muted sun hangs overhead. They've made it to the demiplane of Arcadius's birth.
Something doesn't feel right about this place.
They make camp on the island pillar, deciding after their journey through the Temple of the Raven Queen, a bit of rest would do them all some good. Cheryl is subdued, the echoes of the words the Aspect said to her flitting through her mind. Offering to take the first watch with Faye, she comes close to the Eladrin, speaking low so none of the others can hear.
Faye, when you went through the temple, what did you see?
The vibrato they normally wear like armor is gone.
I saw many things. Cheryl, do you know of anything happening between the Winter and Summer Court?
No, I do not.
She answers truthfully. Cheryl leans in close, concerned.
Why? Do you think something will?
They shrug.
I don't know. One of the visions I had seemed more like a premonition.
Faye shifts uncomfortably before looking back to her.
The Summer Court was at war with the Winter Court, and I was there, in the midst of it all.
Cheryl is very still, her own concerns temporarily banished from her mind.
I could try to find out for you, Faye. It wouldn't be easy, but I could try.
She says, resting a warm hand on their wintry one and giving a gentle squeeze. Faye nods once, and then nods again, attempting to bring back their air of nonchalance.
They were just visions, after all. Doesn't make them true.
They shrug, looking out past the cliff edge.
In your visions, did the Raven Queen speak to you at all?
The question tumbled from her lips before Cheryl even realized she was going to ask it. Faye raises an eyebrow at her and shakes their head. Somehow, their answer doesn't surprise Cheryl. They make some more small talk after that, Cheryl telling Faye a bit about her visions, but the rest of their watch is uneventful. She has a feeling if she asked the others the same question, even Arcadius, he would say the Raven Queen didn't speak to them. It only serves to confirm something to her which fills her with foreboding.
They were more than just visions. The Raven Queen has her many eyes on me, has marked me for something. I just do not know if I dare to find out what.
In the distance, a lightning storm dances across the twilight sky. The next day, after having followed a trail that led up to a tri-standing stone site where they found a pile of discarded items, Arcadius, Cheryl, Faye, Bones, and Ren were making their way south again, in the direction of what the Fae Bard hoped would be Fallford. But if what they found at the tri-standing stones was any indication, Cheryl was beginning to have doubts about what may lie ahead, or if they would find anyone.
May our illustrious lady, she who led us to this place of safety in ages past, take mercy on our souls once more. Keep and protect us from the evil that has beset us, and allow us rebirth and life everlasting in the comfort and warm embrace of her shadow. We, children of the Raven, embark on our last journey. We relieve ourselves of all that ties us down and take flight.
Cheryl was watching how the waves crashed against the cliff below them as they passed another bend in the trail when Arcadius let out a cry. Turning, she ran over to him as he clutched at his head, a grimace on his face. It was then she saw them. Lines around Arcadius's eyes, the way his hair seemed lighter on the sides, silvered with age.
Arcadius, what's going on?
Cheryl asks, alarm making her voice come out strong.
Talk to us, please.
She sees him straining against something as he looks at her.
It's Swan. She's being a right bitch.
Is there anything we can do?
Faye asks, looking between Cheryl and Arcadius. Ren is eyeing the tiefling warily whilst Bones comes a bit closer. No one seems to know what to do.
Just give me a moment.
Arcadius bites out as he remains bent forward. Cheryl wasn't going to wait. Brow setting into a determined line, she reaches into her satchel and pulls out a scroll case and a small jar with a butterfly clasp. She has Faye hold the jar while she takes the scroll out, unrolling it. Deftly popping the clasp on the jar held in Faye's hands, Cheryl takes a small pinch of the crushed diamond dust inside between her right ring finger and thumb. She utters the incantation on the scroll in her soft, musical voice, and the dust held between her fingers glows golden. Deftly, she sprinkles it over Arcadius' shoulders before using the remaining bits clinging to her fingers to trace a symbol on his forehead. The effect is practically instantaneous. He exhales a shaky breath, and the cold sweat that broke across his forehead stops.
Thank you, Cheryl.
She nods and smiles, but there is worry still in the depths of her eyes.
That should last you for 8 hours.
She reassures him.
Long enough for us to get to Falford, and then get out of here.
What was that, though?
Faye asks, handing the jar back to Cheryl, who puts it and the now empty scroll case away in her satchel. Arcadius doesn't answer Faye's question. He merely straightens up.
He's aging before our very eyes.
Adjusts the eye patch he wears, and then continues down the path. Faye gives Cheryl a questioning look, but she shakes her head. Throwing their hands up in the air in exasperation, the Eladrin starts after Arcadius.
He's aged nearly 7 years since we've arrived.
Ren says beside Cheryl,
that can't be good. All the more reason we need to find Falford.
And quickly. Bones advises. Cheryl nods in agreement. The tavern was the last place Arcadius had seen his father. He had told Cheryl this before her friend had thoughts about trying to find his home. The large, squat building, like the rest of the town, was abandoned and showed 100 years of decay on top of strong stone foundations. Bones and Cheryl easily found a secret passageway that led to the basement, and the last remnants of the people of Falford. The family gathered around the deathbed of an old man had reacted to Faye's approach with worry and fear. Cheryl was standing in the shadows of a hall perpendicular from the archway the others were entering from. She did not enter the room, though. Something holding her back. She discerned the family's hopelessness, their resignation to the end which they knew would be coming for them soon. The lightning from the night before was building, the ground itself starting to quake. It wasn't until the family explained it to them that the full scope of everything became clear.
My name is Verdon. I was just a little child when you left. You were a few years older than me,
the old man said, his rasping voice weak as he spoke to Arcadius.
I never thought I'd see you again.
I am sorry, Arcadius stammered. It was unusual for her friend to hesitate so much, but at this moment they all knew why. The second of the three stone pillars they had found pointed an unmistakable, accusatory finger at the tiefling, one that Cheryl thought unjust and unfair.
To the betrayer, he who left this sanctuary and paved the way for evil, we curse you. We damn you. We abjure you and your thrice damned kin. May you never rest for what you have wrought unto us.
The dying man groans, the old prejudice within him coming forth.
Why did you leave? Why did you bring them here?
He demands, straining himself. The woman, the mother, steps forward and takes his hand to calm him down.
I...
Arcadius hesitates, drawing back, hurt. An unexpected anger flares in Cheryl, but she reins it in. Her friend tries again.
I didn't mean to hurt anyone. I just didn't want to be here anymore.
The father of the family looks at his wife and then to the old man.
That's Arcadius? The betrayer himself? The one who left?
He eyes Arcadius warily, and the two children withdraw behind their mother.
You brought the invaders here. You did all this? I didn't mean to do anything. I don't know what I did.
Arcadius says quickly, attempting to appeal to them. They don't look convinced.
Tell us about the invaders.
Verdon tells them the invaders first came not long after Arcadius left. When they did, the people of Falford thought they had offended the gods, and so they prayed it would be just the once. Unfortunately, it was not. Each time they came, the land would change. Lightning storms would appear and the ground would shake. The trees withered and died. The land eroded and started collapsing back into the sea. At first, they tried to fight back, but the green and orange-skinned invaders,
Githyanki,
Faye informed them, would always find them. Since Arcadius was not there to be blamed, his father bore the brunt of it instead. His smithy was burned to the ground, and he was then cast out from Falford.
He went into the wild by himself. I assumed the invaders caught him. Eventually, they would catch everyone.
Verdon falls silent. There was a righteous glint to his eyes as he looked at Arcadius. Cheryl wasn't sure if her friends saw it or not. He continues.
Some of our people lost all hope. They erected a monument and commended their souls to the Raven Queen, hoping that she would save them. They took the easy way out.
The shadows coil around her feet, and Cheryl hears a soft, welcoming cry of a raven behind her. A moment before, she would have sworn she was alone in that hall. But now she can feel a cool wind at her back, ruffling the feathers of her cloak. Why did you stay? Cheryl asks from the shadows. The father jumps and turns, but he relaxes when he sees her. A small thing, not a threat.
We couldn't. Not with our family. The last attack was so long ago, we thought. Maybe it's over. We saw the lightning and the mists rise like they did in the past, but surely it's because you're here,
the father says. He suddenly deflates.
Still, there's little hope left for us. You could come back with us,
Bones states, matter-of-factly.
What? Come with you? With the betrayer?
The man says, pointing to Arcadius. Cheryl's brow becomes a line at the use of the misnomer.
The one who brought all of this to us?
He didn't bring this to you,
Faye says, giving the man a chilling look, full of winter. As much as she dislikes their attitude, Cheryl would not leave this family here. She takes out the pin Sui had given them, thinking about how the spell tied to it is supposed to work. Bright blue eyes do a quick count of the people in the room, and she frowns.
Do you want a chance to live somewhere else, in a land that isn't dying?
Cheryl asks, cutting through them. Her voice isn't the only one speaking. It's layered with darker, whispered voices, some which sound like her, some which do not.
Or would you rather live here for the remainder of whatever life you have left and die with this land? We can offer you a way out.
From the shadows behind her, there's the unmistakable sound of beating wings and the throaty call of ravens. The shadows surge forward in a wave, crashing down at her heels to spray up over her shoulders and wrap around her an appropriatorial embrace. Feathered and wispy, everyone looking at her gets the sense that something else is lingering in the gloom behind Cheryl. Something darker than the shadows that watches all. From the old man lying in his deathbed, to her friends standing around the last family of Falford. All of them look at Cheryl with varying degrees of awed trepidation, the family taking a step back in outright fear. The shadows whisper to her.
Raven daughter.
Oh, okay. If you can show us a way out of here, then yes, we will accept.
The father answers, voice quaking. He averts his eyes.
Just, please, don't hurt us.
Cheryl smiles pleasantly. But to the others, it's spine-chilling.
Don't worry. We won't hurt you.
To the invaders, may you choke on your plunder. Despair of your conquest. Fear the shadows. For we will always be watching you.
Cheryl swoops above the Githyanki invaders, the wings on her back beating the air in a dreadful tempo. As her shadow falls over them, she unleashes a final shattering spell, the thunder of her song ringing out and killing the last of them. Far above her, the lightning storm which had been on the horizon at the start of the day starts flashing across the sky, rolling in. She looks over to Arcadius, sees Bones helping him to his feet, once more healing him with the powers the Arakokra has from the Raven Queen. A fascinating duality. With the battle against the invaders done, Cheryl wanted to get Arcadius and the rest of them out of Falford. Gathering once more in the basement of the tavern, Cheryl holds out the pin to Arcadius.
I can get home.
She half smiles and touches her circlet. The gem, which was normally shimmering and bright, was dull, hardly any light emanating from it. You get everyone else out. Arcadius takes the pin, but holds her hand, not letting go. If you go home, you come back. You promise me right now you'll come back. She looks into his eyes, tasting the weight of the words before she says them.
I promise. And a word once given,
Arcadius starts.
Cannot be broken.
Cheryl finishes, her expression unreadable. I fucking mean it this time, Cheryl.
I know. She pulls her best friend towards her as she rises up on tiptoes and gives Arcadius a kiss on the cheek. I'll see you soon.
You also promised me you'd come with me to the Feywild.
Fey adds. Cheryl looks to them and sees they have misgivings about her decision. She must stay strong. If she shows any hesitation, they will know. And she cannot have that. She makes herself laugh softly to cover her growing disquiet.
That I did.
Yeah, so don't you dare, Doi.
The wintry Eladrin teases. I don't plan on it. Now, go.
Arcadius, Bones, Ren, and Fey link hands with the last family of Falford. The golden leaf harp pin in Arcadius's hand starts to hum, and in the blink of an eye, Cheryl sees her friends snatched out of Falford. Just she and Verdun remain. The Fey Bard turns towards the old man, and the look on his face would be unreadable to anyone else. She quietly comes over to the bed, reading the mix of emotions she sees in his eyes.
You are wrong about Arcadius. He is no betrayer,
Cheryl says, sitting down beside Verdun on the bed. He doesn't say anything.
I will not linger here long, so I'm afraid you will have to face your death on your own.
Her gaze drifts over to the shadows where she stood before, and she feels unseen eyes watching them. Watching her.
Though part of me thinks you do not deserve it, I will play a song for you. A final gift to see you into your next life.
Cheryl unlimbers her harp from her side, feeling the strings hum. She keeps it simple, plucking the chords as she starts singing softly, her voice low.
Hands cold to touch, feet worn and rough, soon the last of us will be but ash and dust.
This has been a write-up of the session, Home, Sweet Home. Run by Ian, set in the Cantus Expanse, a long-running 5th edition D&D campaign. Run by the London RPG community. Fey Persona was voiced by Kieran Seabrook France. The Raven Queen was voiced by Jess Smo Ray. Interested in playing games with us? Want to find a place to run some games? Check out the meetup events and join us on Discord. All the links are in the description. Thank you for listening. Tune in again for the next chapter in Cheryl's story.